Hi, I'm Sean Healy, and you're listening to Tools. Hi everyone, Sean Healy, personal change agent here, and you're listening to episode 43 of Sean Healy Tools, a podcast designed to support entrepreneurial couples, people in business partnership, and anyone just looking for more tips, tools, and strategies to add to the quality of your life. Today's episode is entitled Understanding Verbal Abuse. I thought this was a very powerful episode to do because this is a really toxic thing to experience in relationships. It can be so confusing and so demoralizing to our self-esteem when we experience it. And of course, it happens in secret. So I thought it was really important to look at some of the core elements that constitute verbal abuse, so that if you or someone you know is experiencing something like this, you're able to help support, or if it's you, you're able to get the strength, if needs be, to set some limits and boundaries, call the abuse out, and hopefully have a change for a greater relationship. Or if you recognize that your partner is not willing to do that, then you're able to leave the relationship and go find something far more healthy and safe, because verbal abuse, most people who've experienced physical abuse have certainly experienced verbal abuse. Not all verbal abuse leads to physical abuse, but it is really, really painful to experience. You know, there's that old kind of saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But actually, that's not the case. Verbal abuse is stunningly painful. It can really damage our self-esteem and our ability to trust our own internal compass and radar about life. And it can just be so damaging. So hence why I thought I'd put this episode out there to just add to the kind of education and awareness that's out there to help people, support people in having healthier relationships. I draw strongly off the work of the author Patricia Evans. She's got a number of books. The one that I'm kind of leveraging off today is called The Verbally Abusive Relationship. You know, how to recognize it and how to respond. Mostly this episode is looking at just some of the cues that allow you to, that would help you to recognize it. Because we've all had exchanges in relationships where we've communicated less than elegantly, when we've spoken from our wounds and our pain, and we've probably said things that we deeply regret. That's not necessarily, while that is, you know, certainly painful, what we're looking at here is something that is chronic and ongoing and very one-sided is more the focus of today. So that there are a couple of key things that if they're presenting in the relationship or our friends are reporting that these kinds of dynamics are playing out in their relationship, we can start to put up a red flag and look very closely at what might need to change in the relationship. So I guess where we start with this is looking at the foundation or the kind of relational idea that we're operating off. Because when we enter into a relationship, there's an assumption that you and I are going to be operating off the same parameters. We're going to be playing from the same rule book. And when we're dealing with people who are chronically verbally abusive, that is often not the case. You know, if I'm coming from the space where I want to add to our relational strength, I want to support you in your strength and pursuits, and I'm looking for a place, I'm coming from a place of personal power and responsibility, and my expectation is that you are too. However, if we've partnered up with somebody who runs off the idea that they need power over us, because, you know, they're lacking in a sense of personal power and strength, possibly, and so what they do is employ tactics and methods for having power over us, not sharing power. And it's really important to understand that if we're playing the power over game, there's certain strategies we need to employ that, to a person who's playing from a space of sharing, this is absolutely mystifying. So it's really understanding, you know, who's playing what game, and not making the assumption that we've automatic, that we are both on the same page, that we truly want to know each other, we truly want to be able to hold space for each other, and we are strengthened when our partner is strengthened. We are delighted in our partner's successes. We're taking interest in our partner. However, if we're looking to have power over another, those things are less than desirable for us, because the stronger our partner gets, the weaker we feel. So it's important that if we are starting to track consistent patterns of verbal abuse, there's certain things that we need to be ideally watching out for or noting. The first one is that verbal abuse, like physical abuse and like most crimes against people, it happens in secrecy. It happens behind closed doors. So we might notice that our partner doesn't unexpectedly rage at us or use belittling name calling or mocks our ideas. That doesn't happen when we're out in public. It's only behind closed doors. And it's only when the two of us are alone. And this can be really crazy making, because we, you know, especially if everybody thinks that our partner's a fantastic person, and the public persona that they display is so dramatically different to the private persona. So we're really watching out. If it escalates and it's becoming really, really chronic, then it starts to appear in public, but certainly it starts in private. So that's the first thing to look for. Does our partner treat us the same privately and publicly, rather than if they're the outbursts and the abusiveness and the name calling and the belittling and the challenging our intention? You know, what are you trying to do? You're trying to start something. How could you not know that? These kinds of things, it all happened. You're such an idiot. You're too sensitive. These kinds of accusations happen. They happen in an aggressive manner, and they happen in private. The other part of this is they tend to happen at unexpected moments. Part of the way in which we keep power over others is we don't allow a person to settle into a sense of a pattern. It's not like, you know, if I knew that at 8 o'clock every morning my partner is going to be grumpy and abusive, then I can prepare myself for that. I can put a boundary up. But if I'm never quite sure when that attack is coming, then this makes me extremely vulnerable. It makes me question myself. And often unconsciously what the skilled verbal abuser is tracking for, that may not even be in their own awareness, is the moments when we're vulnerable. And when we're vulnerable and it's unexpected, that's the time they're going to launch. You know, there's almost an unconscious radar for when we are at our most vulnerable, and that's when they're going to strike. So there's a randomness to the attacks, the verbal attacks, and there's also the other way that often the attack comes is when we're feeling our best, you know, because again, this is absolutely unacceptable to a person who needs power over us. They feel best when we're at our weakest, when we're in pain, when we're in doubt, when we're, we're feeling poorly esteemed, when we're trying desperately to make our partner understand. And our partner is not going to understand. They're not going to want to kind of step in. They're not going to want to own their behaviors. There's a lot of denial on their behalf. What are you talking about? I'm not angry. Are you trying to start a fight, are you? That's ridiculous. How dare you accuse me of that? You're always accusing me of things. And so everything gets turned back on us and in a very aggressive way, and we're made to look like we're the problem. Because if I'm the abuser, I can't own my anger. I've got to project it onto you, because that's the only way that I can still get away with the kinds of behaviors that I'm doing in the relationship. The moment I am forced to recognize that I'm abusive and that I am the one with anger issues, then it automatically puts me in a fragile spot. And this makes it very difficult for me to continue my power over game. So I can't take responsibility. I can't enter into any kind of communication that would require me to try to understand you, because, again, my facade gets pulled away. So I'm going to be doing all kinds of accusatory and distancing style behaviors, even if that's just storming out on you. You've wrecked another, you've wrecked another perfectly lovely day. Well, I'm just going to go and have lunch on my own somewhere, because I just can't deal with how critical you are all the time, and how you wreck all these exchanges, and how you just kind of blow up everything and there's that element where our reality, our interpretation of reality is in no way accepted. It's belittled, it's negated. And we're not allowed to it. We're not allowed to our version of reality. All that's allowed is the abuser's version of reality. And that's going to have, again, shifting goalposts. It's quite possible for them to make one statement one day and then make the complete opposite the next, or completely deny something they've said before, because, again, this is stunningly destabilizing. And that's if we've got our partner on the back foot, if we've got them feeling doubtful, hypervigilant and unstable, this makes it easy for me to keep the one-up dynamic going on you. So I'm going to employ denial, I'm going to employ criticism, I'm going to employ rage, any vehicle that helps me to keep power over you, then I'm going to use that, and I'm certainly not going to be wanting to be accountable, because then that blows and exposes the whole game. So, the other element of this is that the abuser, when we're trying to get on the same page as our partner, but they're continually treating us like the enemy. Again, because I want power over my enemy. So I'm going to, I can't afford to look at you in a collaborative, empathic way, because, again, that can trigger my powerlessness. One of the great courages that the abuser needs, one, they need to acknowledge that they're being abusive, and then what comes with that is the strength to recognize that what's driving this is a place of powerlessness, a place of lack of personal power, and then a sense of taking responsibility for how do they get that within their own self, rather than projecting and externalizing that onto others and sapping the strength from others as a way to get that gap met. This can be challenging for people to be that courageous, to face up to that. And really hard to own the fact that we've been consistently abusive. But if we can get there and we can change our relationships, then there's hope. But again, you've got to be very careful here, because if you find that you really do have a sense of feeling really unsafe around your partner, then it might be, you might not be safe to bring these things up with them directly. You might need somebody there with you as support. And if there's no sense that a partner wants to change, then there's every chance by calling the behaviors out, what is actually going to happen is the behaviors are going to escalate. So above everything, you really have to be so aware of your personal safety here. That comes first. We're not trying to be a martyr here. We're not trying to go, if only I was more compassionate, if only I was more, I did more around the place, if only I tried to speak a different way, all the if onlys, those would work if we were playing the same game. But if we realize we're not, then those strategies are useless. And so we're seeing things for what they are, as challenging as that is. And then we're taking the appropriate steps of nurture and self-care for ourselves. It can be terrifying to set new limits in a relationship that's been quite limitless, where we've had a partner that's consistently, absolutely rolled over all our boundaries. It's very, very difficult sometimes and takes a real effort to be able to, one, realize that this is not all about us and that, you know, we're not doing everything wrong and we're not a heinous being and we're not vengeful or anything else they've accused us of. We can see the reality of the situation. We can set limits. We can ask for those limits. And we are surrendered to the fact that if the message that comes back to us is very clear that our partner has no interest in changing, then we you know, for our own personal safety, we need to be getting out. And so, you know, we've got an exit strategy planned, one that keeps us safe. You know, your primary thing here is please keep yourself safe. Don't put yourself in situations where things can escalate and you can be verbally abused even more or physically abused, because, you know, that's just absolutely tragic. And we don't want to be giving abusers those opportunities. So, and we sometimes need to surrender that because these things have happened in private, that some people will go, "Why'd you leave that person? They're lovely. Oh, you're crazy." You know, and we've just got to hold space and recognize that, you know, this is the thing. When somebody has really messed with our internal compass, you know, it's challenging to get back into that sense of trust of yourself when somebody has systematically over a period of time tried to destroy that. So this is why I just thought this episode was so important, because I have come across over the years people who've suffered terribly and taken on more blame than they should have, and have been mystified and confused and angry and just so baffled at why does my partner do this to me? And especially when we have pockets where there's periods where the relationship seems to go along quite smoothly, and then there's another one of these unexpected blow-ups, and we're left with that stabbing feeling in the pit of our stomach when our partner lands that abusive, you know, or we feel the catch in our throat, or we've been so shocked by such an aggressive lateral attack that we never saw coming, especially when we were in a moment of openness, our heart was open. It's just stunningly painful. And my heart goes out to anyone in this kind of experience. And the first thing that we do is we get aware of the dynamics that are running, the kinds of patterns that are being used, because this already starts to take the power away from it. And then we're coming up with a strategy for either, you know, reclaiming the relationship as something of two loving mutual people, or we are exiting. And that's so important that we, above all, you know, we're setting those limits and those boundaries for our own self-preservation and self-care, because we really do deserve people who can play the same relationship game as us. They can play the game of mutual respect. They can play the game of mutual celebration of success, and that we can both take responsibility for our behaviors. We can come from a mutual place of functional adult. And that way we can have beautiful, loving connection. That doesn't mean from time to time we aren't going to misfire or say angry words, but we're talking about, like I said, things that are chronic and consistent and really destabilizing to a person. So I hope this, there's so much more to say about this, but I feel like that's probably enough to digest, you know, and above all, if you've listened to an episode like this and it's triggered some elements for you, then it's so important that you don't deal with this alone, that you go and get support, that you go and find the appropriate kind of support through a counselor. You know, you can speak up to friends, but make sure that they're people who are willing to recognize your reality. They're safe. We're picking safe people to speak up to, or we're sourcing counselors with a background in this kind of element. And we're seeking to further educate ourselves on the kinds of dynamics we might be in. So I hope that this episode has been illuminating. And especially if we're just keeping an eye on our friends, you know, if this is not happening to us, but one of our friends might be suffering. And so I'm hoping that this this episode helps to educate and lift the veil so that we can watch out for one another too, and we can be, you know, we can see, we can spot those red flags, and that we can be present and support each other if needs be, you know, if we're going to the aid of a friend and we're helping them through their relational crisis and getting them to the kind of appropriate help they need, then I think then this to know this stuff is really very valuable on that front too. So as always, thank you for listening. For those of you who've been through the journey all the way, as always, my absolute gratitude to you. If you've just joined us, you can support the show by going to iTunes, Sean Healy Tools, download, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating if you would please. That would be fantastic because it just helps the reach of the program. And I'm just so keen to get some of this tools and relational awareness. I want to advance that cause as much as I can. I think some of these tools, if we knew them when we were younger, could have saved a lot of pain and suffering. So I'm very passionate about educating people and bringing educational resource to relationships so that we can have these really wonderful relationships with one another. You can find the podcast series on Stitcher, Podbean, and other podcast mediums, and at emergencetraining.com.au. I do public trainings in communicational dynamics, and I also do one-to-one work as well. So happy to hear from you at emergencetraining.com.au. And once again, thank you for listening to the episode. And until next time, bye.